Thank you for tuning in to the Death Sign Podcast. My name is Dustin Mader, and I'm a visual artist. I've always been fascinated with the creative muse in others and in myself. In tonight's episode, we'll be speaking with the talented artist, Kristen Dorsey, about life, legacy, and design. Thank you for joining us tonight, Kristen.
You're welcome. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's just start right off the bat. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I am a Chickasaw citizen, and I was born and raised here in Tongva land in Los Angeles, and I do a lot of different things, but one of the things that I spend lots of time on is my jewelry and metalsmithing. I own a company called Kristen Dorsey Designs, and all of the fine jewelry that I create for that company, it's all linked to Chickasaw history or elements from our culture.
Right on. Well, that kind of leads into the next question, but what inspires you to create what you do?
So I think I love learning about our history, and especially our history in our homeland area in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. And I have a background in American studies, and I concentrated in Native American studies, so I'm really fascinated with the Native history of the Southeast and what our ancestors went through during different time periods and how they negotiated all this great change and turmoil. And so I think I'm really inspired by the perseverance and strength that they had, that is really clear when you start to study these stories.
Yeah.
In particular, I love finding stories about female leaders and instances where our matriarchs were actually defeating European men. Those are, I think, the most inspirational for me.
Like the Battle of Accia and those type of situations.
Exactly. Yeah, how the French who were attacking our villages were totally unprepared for these women who were also trained like male warriors in combat and knew how to defend their homes very, very effectively.
Absolutely. Let's see here. I guess we're changing it up a little bit here. How do you feel the ancestors inspire you?
I think because they persisted and they made sure to assert their cultural and Chickasaw identity no matter what the circumstances were that they were facing. Mm-hmm. So, like, whether it was during the removal period or even after in Oklahoma area, there's always that resilience there. So to know the sacrifices that they made, and so that the future us can survive and thrive, I think is always really powerful.
What are you doing on that subject? What are you doing to be a good ancestor? And it can be... go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that question, because I think it really challenges you to think about how to live your life and how to create a legacy and what you can be doing personally. I think it's a very empowering question, actually, and it's something that really inspires me to keep going in my career. Some things that I'm actually very excited for that I'm is a new career path for me is curation, and really trying to spotlight the voices of other Indigenous artists who I think have really important messages, not just for the Native community, but for everybody.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I didn't know. When did you start doing that? I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah, so it kind of started with Visual Voices, which is the show that you're in as well.
Yes.
And I've been working like 6 years on that show. And as like a smaller group of Chickasaw artists got together, and we really steered the project and have put in a lot of behind the scenes work to make this exhibition happen, because we see that Southeastern art and Chickasaw art really needs more of a foothold in the current art market, because I'm a firm believer that culture thrives in a healthy economy that sustains it. Our ancestors have always been working in a economic like a economic system. We had trade, we had artisans. If you are constantly worried about where your next paycheck is, it's really hard to make art, and it's hard to study your history and to create new pieces. So I think it's so critical that we give our artists the best chance to have successful art careers. And in order to do that, we thought that it would be great to introduce a collection of up-and-coming Chickasaw artists to the broader audiences. And so that was the concept behind Visual Voices. We think that a traveling exhibit is effective in that manner. And then I'm actually curating a new show for a local museum here that is Indigenous female artists.
Oh, that's excellent.
A brand new project, and that is kind of a solo curation project for myself.
Wow, how cool. Well, you know, representation really does matter, and you never know really where you're going to find Native youth or Southeastern youth or even Chickasaw youth. When I was in Toronto working on a play last year, I actually found a Chickasaw up in the Toronto area. Now, we didn't get to coordinate, but we did get to chat and kind of give a heads up of the things going on in Indian country down here. And you never know the people, you know, that cause and effect, and, you know, these works that you're doing, you never know exactly how far these seeds will spread. So it's really cool that you're doing that. I'm really impressed that you're just kind of, you're blossoming and beyond just being a designer of jewelry and really good execution of, but into something that's larger and more profound than even I think that you appreciated when you were first starting. And especially when we first met, your work is just matured in a way that is like, it's very exciting to see where you've been and where you're going and your creative vision. And that kind of,
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And it comes from a sincere place. And that also leads into the next part of the conversation is, what are some themes and aesthetics that have been going into your work, and is like, what are you working towards as an artist? Like visually, what are some components or themes that you're working on and that are you building towards?
Well, I think work that I would love to create more of would be more themes that you find around Native issues
mm-hmm.
and current events that are happening. I love creating visual metaphors and commenting on current events and issues that I think really affect humanity today and are important for people to discuss and learn more about. So education through art, and aesthetically that looks like the use of different materials to make certain statements and create compositions that are both rooted in maybe Chickasaw adornment traditions, but also really make you think and contemplate. And so, like, an example of work that I'd like to make more of is a Gorget set that I created for the Visual Voices show, and that it's called What Fuels Leadership? Question mark. And that series is two Gorgets, and a Gorget is a form of neckwear that you'll see our leadership wearing most more commonly. And so that's why I wanted to use that that style of piece and create my commentary with that as the base. So the piece is basically about how oil companies bribe politicians and donate to their campaigns, and how I see that as blocking progress that is essential to our survival as a species. We need to.
You know, it almost reminds me of I had read a story once about how they had developed back in like the time of ancient Troy and that Hellenistic period, that they had already developed like a form of the steam engine, and they would like put a coin in like this vending machine, and you would get like this holy water that'd be dispersed, or you would get like these tokens, and when you would come close you would put money in, and it would, the doors would open and there would be steam and all these amazing wonders. And they were wanting to use this in, I guess, some kind of labor form. And the question came up, well, what are we going to do with all these slaves? And that was like kind of, I guess, one of the impressions I was getting is that the people in power had too much money on the current system, and they stifled that innovation and set back humanity by thousands of years until mm-hmm. basically Eli Whitney and the cotton gin and that whole industrial revolution changed things. So I definitely feel that you're onto something in that description in your piece.
Wow, yeah, that's an interesting history I didn't know about. But it makes perfect sense, because that's what we're seeing today. Are the most powerful in our society are the corporations right now.
Yeah.
And they are creating setbacks and obstacles for us to be innovative, whether that innovation is solar power, which is what the other Gorget in this set is about, or maybe there's other kinds of energy sources that we need to put funding and research into that is even better than solar.
Yeah.
So I really believe that as humans, we can be innovative and we can solve these environmental issues, but we have to have been doing it yesterday.
Yeah.
So
well, as an artist, I'm sure you can appreciate, you know, there's nothing like having the fire underneath your butt to motivate you to finish your job, especially if it's due, like, tomorrow.
Exactly. We work on tight deadlines.
Oh, yeah.
So, otherwise we procrastinate.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a project that you're working on right now that you would like to talk about? That we kind of haven't really kind of discussed. You know, we've talked about the visual voices, and we're talking about this new curated show or exhibition you're doing. Is there any other projects that you got going on that you'd like to share?
Well, I think the biggest project is the new curated exhibition that I'm doing. So I'm happy to talk about that
Oh, please.
because I have so there's I live in El Segundo, California, and we have a beautiful new contemporary art museum
Really? Where at?
in town on Main Street, actually.
Oh, okay.
And
How far away
so
from Chicken Dijon and all those places?
well, El Segundo's changed a lot, so those aren't even there
Yeah.
anymore. But it's in the spot where our post office used to be,
Oh,
'cause
really? I know exactly where that is. Okay.
our poor post office left.
Oh, really?
But then this family with this foundation, they renovated the building and turned it into this really state-of-the-art space for artwork, and they tried to do really innovative exhibits. And so I'm their guest curator, and the show is going to open this fall, and I'm curating a collection of female identifying indigenous artists who are speaking about issues around the environment, around cultural revitalization, and around kind of reclaiming our power as indigenous women and combating violence against indigenous women.
Oh,
And
okay.
so those themes are going to be really prominent throughout everybody's pieces in the show, but they're all different mediums and they're coming from all different tribal communities around the country. So I'm incredibly excited, and it's going to be titled Matriarchs. And it's just been so very like soul fulfilling and rewarding to just even speak with these artists and have conversations with them about their work. I just find their work as being this new source of inspiration for me and this new source of motivation for me. 'Cause as an artist, sometimes you start to feel stale and you feel like you need a breath of fresh air and you need to change focus a little bit, 'cause you can only focus on yourself so much and before you start to go nuts. So, for me, it's been really exciting to look beyond myself and to see this larger community of artists and build solidarity with them and to really showcase them to a local area that's never heard of any of them before. So, I'm very excited, and it's going to open October 13th
Oh, really?
in
Excellent.
in El Segundo. So
Well, I have to go to my cousin's getting married in October, so hopefully I'll be able to kind of coordinate things and be able to come to the show. I would really love to see what you've been working with on this project. It sounds very
that would be
interesting.
amazing.
Hopefully I can bring my daughter and just kind of show her. She's really into that. And she wanted me to let you know that she won second place, and that she asked me to let you know that she's refining her work and expanding on what she's doing.
I saw that. I'm so excited for her. That's really great. And I loved the picture of her pieces I
Oh,
saw.
cool. Yeah, she wished she would have had more time doing her photography thing, but she was changing her mind too many times. But she had been working on that beaded collar, and that's what that's actually what won. So I think that it kind of shows that if her that putting the time into the pieces will cultivate something special. So
I think that she's gonna do so many great things.
thank you. What do you hope your legacy is as an artist? Like in 20 years, what do you hope, culture as a whole, or the tribe as a whole, or just people in your medium? What do you hope is like your legacy?
Well, through my jewelry work and through my work in actually myself presenting my art in public events, and I end up having so many conversations about what a Native person even is, and what we look like, what backgrounds we come from, and I end up doing so much public education through the act of just selling jewelry in my booth. And because I have blonde hair, blue eyes, and I don't fit your Pocahontas stereotype that so many people have about Native women. And I'm a surfer from California, and so I love to kind of shatter people's preconceived boxes that they want to put Native people into. And at the same time, I enjoy educating them about why my jewelry isn't made out of all turquoise and silver, that there's so much diversity in Native American art, and innovation has always been our tradition. And so experimentation and new materials, and also reconnecting to our ancient Southeastern roots, all of that goes into my work. And so I think spreading all of those messages and having those conversations about Native history, about, for example, blood quantum, that's always a topic that I end up teaching people about how the problems and issues and where the blood quantum history actually comes from. So many people don't understand that. So I feel like I'm a teacher of sorts, even more so than an artist. Like, my art is my teaching. And so I hope to have these conversations so that, like, one day my daughter meets people that have a more open mind if in whatever career path she chooses, when she identifies herself as a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation, and other children and future generations. I hope that they have more ease, and I just would like to kind of pave the way for them.
Well, it certainly sounds like you're doing it, and you leave a legacy already that I think will make not only Chickasaw people feel stronger in their cultural identity, but I think Native people as a whole, this kind of this asserting feminine sovereignty. We were matriarchal societies in antiquity, and I mean that was the catalyst, really, with when we were done with the conquistadors. They had the two men had taken the two pigs from the conquistadors and left a monetary value, or what they perceived monetary value, exchange for it. And the conquistadors were still practicing Moorish law, and they cut off these men's hands. And I believe they made it back. One of them may have died not long after. And there was a call for blood and revenge. And the Minko, the king, said, "No, well, we're gonna talk with them tomorrow, and we're gonna figure this out." And when DeSoto and his men came rolling up to the Minkos and the councils, they were like, "If you give us 20 of your women as concubine and a few dozen slaves, we'll be on our way and give you as many pigs as you want." And the Minko goes, "We'll give you an answer tomorrow." And the women were, because we were a matriarchal society, were all like, "Hell no, you're not doing that." And they went in with maybe 300, 400 Chickasaw warriors, and that night they raided the conquistadors, and they only survived with whatever they had on their backs, and they hauled ass out of the Chickasaw territory, never to return. But you know, it was that what pushed them over was that, you know, taking 20 of our women as concubine. They weren't going to tolerate that. And it's so cool to kind of see, well, it's not cool to see the degradation of women's rights, but to see the rebound, and you know, the women getting the right to vote, and women getting the right to, you know, I remember hearing stories from my grandmother, and my own mother, of the difficulty of being a single woman, raising a child even. And you know, with my grandmother, she couldn't even get a credit card for like a Woolworths to get a line of credit because she needed her husband to sign off on it when she didn't have one. And you know, to have strong women today lay the foundations for even stronger women in the future is it's you are doing your ancestors proud, and you are building a legacy that I feel will live beyond you. So my
Well,
Oh, go ahead.
thank you so much. I'm trying.
We'll keep it up, and I really appreciate you coming on tonight. I hope to have you on again, and we'll discuss other things you got going on. And I look forward to seeing you again, my friend. And congratulations on your daughter. I look forward to seeing pictures when she arrives.
Yes, thank you. Yep, it will be. I'm 6 weeks out from the due date, so
Oh wow.
not too far away.
Well, excellent. And on a side note, you should maybe think about doing a podcast yourself, you know, with what your projects that you're working on. You have so much to say and so much to talk about, and you know, this podcast is not nearly long enough for some of these ideas to really get fleshed out. So, and on a side note with that, it's a way that your ancestors, your descendants will be, or not your ancestors, you'll be the ancestor, but your descendants will be able to hear your own voice discussing, you know, what you are trying to achieve in your work. You know, why let other people speak for you when you are perfectly capable of speaking for yourself? You know, I hope that kind of catches your interest and you do that, do the same.
Well, thank you. I'll have to learn from you as you do your podcast and learn the ropes of it at some point when I'm ready.
Well, this is just a fun thing where I can introduce artists that inspire me and kind of give me that creative awe and make me push harder. You know, I know that we can't change the past. We can only change the future. And I want to sculpt the world into a better place. And by hopefully sharing these people that I admire so much with the world, that hopefully it'll add to that. So, Kristen, thank you so much. Chapisa Lacho, my friend.
Chapisa
Once again, thank you, Kristen, for coming on tonight. It meant a lot to me for you doing that. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I'll keep on refining this show, keep on getting it better, try to make it come out a little bit more consistent than it has been. I've been working in new mediums with watercolors, and I hope you guys get a chance to check some of it out. And if you're in the Oklahoma City area or in Norman near the University of Oklahoma, check out the Fred Jones Museum, where the Visual Voices touring exhibit will be on until September 9th. Thank you, everyone. Chapisa Lecho.